I think this is the fourth time we've been here, and we always count it a privilege to be down here in sunny southern Ohio. My name is Joe Marshall. My wife Cindy's back there in the back. No, she's not backslidden. She probably is a little bit, but she didn't hear me. Oh, wait, you got to watch. She tosses things. You got to watch out for. But no, she's back there. She was in an automobile accident a few years ago, and she injured her neck. And sometimes when she gets into a church that has a lot of angles, she'll get dizzy and sometimes just pass out. So she's sitting back there. That happened to her when she walked in here today. So I'd rather have her back there than, you know, laying on the floor, puking on your floor there. It's embarrassing sometimes for her. But no, she's a blessing to me. I thank God for her and pray for her. She just lost her brother last week, her brother Raymond. Passed very suddenly. He had a brain clot go to his brain. So pray for Cindy and her family that they would be help her through this time of trial that they've gone through. Our ministry is Gospel Text Mission, and what we do is we travel around and preach usually, and then after the service we give away scripture signs. They're free, one per family, one per church. The only stipulation that the mission makes is if we give you a sign that you would display it publicly. And these are the Corplast signs we have. We also have aluminum signs over there also. So they're all over there against the wall. So feel free to take one after the service. If you want an extra one, we'll sell you an extra one at a very nominal price. Sometimes people buy extra ones because the ones they get messed up in the wintertime or whatever. And they want extra ones, so they're available also. We have a few things that we give away. We give away these small bumper stickers back there. Don't put them on your bumper sticker, though. I ordered 10,000 of these, and they're not for bumpers. They're for, I don't know what they're for. But you can use them indoors, any place where it doesn't rain. Those are free back there on the table. Help yourself to those. There's three or four different ones of these. Also have one the brother gave me here today. That's back there on the table. That'll be free for you, too, back there. So help yourself to that. That's a good one there. I like that. Exposure to the sun can prevent burning. I like that. That's a good one. We got magnetics back there for $2 each. We just sell them for what we pay for them. We get them from the brother down in Tennessee. We also have a bumper sticker you can actually put on your bumper, and we charge $1 for those. Also have these memory books back there for $6. There's six different memory books back there, and help you get into memory work. I believe it's steroid of Christianity, memory work. Help you a lot in your Christian life. I know it did me, and I know it will you too if you memorize the Word of God. We've been in the ministry, I guess, now about going on 10 years. The ministry's been going about 25 years, at least. The ministry itself's given away well over 25,000 scripture signs in 49 states. And us as a family, I think we've given away well over 5,000 scripture signs since we've been in the ministry. And we also, as Pastor said, we also are involved like Brother Gary is with Amazing Grace Missions, and we do the fair ministry in the fall. I serve as a deacon in my local church also, and I'm a Sunday school teacher. I teach fourth and fifth graders when I'm home on Sundays in my own local church, so I try to stay active in my local church when I'm around there. Anybody else have any questions at all about the ministry? Questions at all? Okay, then turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to Acts. Oh, by the way, we've got these signs, too, that are available back there. There's 14 different of these signs. There are different scriptures in them. You can do anything you want with these. I don't care what you do. You want to put them in your house, put them in your shower, you can do that. One guy had said, I'm going to put these up in the trees where all my deer hunting friends can see them. I said, oh, be careful. Don't fall out while you're up there. It can be dangerous. But they're back there also. There's 50, these are free, so help yourself. You want two or three or four different ones. You can put these on the back of a van window, put them on a fence post, whatever you want to do with them. They're back there also. Yeah, I'd like to have the Word of God everywhere. Amen. You can't have too much of the Word of God. Amen. I like to have it all around my house. I like to see it all around the church. I like to see it everywhere, all around on bumper stickers, on signposts, in yards. We can't get too much of the Word of God. Amen. The world can't get too much of the Word of God. You know, folks, nobody gets saved without the Word of God. Amen. If you're saved here today, you got saved because of the Word of God. Amen. And the convicting power of the Spirit of God using the Word of God to bring you to salvation. Amen. being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for being so good to us. Now bless your message today. Help me to be an encouragement and a blessing to these people today. Thank you for Brother Leakley and his ministry down here. And many years he's been down here, Lord. Bless, keep blessing him, Lord. Bless this church. Help him to reach this world with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, if you turn your Bibles today to Acts chapter 1, I want to preach on the Great Commission today. I'm an evangelist, and an evangelist is somebody that encourages, one of the things he does is he encourages other Christians to evangelize. Amen? So I want to preach to you today on the Great Commission. You don't hear a lot of, how many times have you ever, on Christian radio, have you ever heard a message on witnessing? Probably never. I've heard maybe one or two in 41 years I've been saved. But I believe if you get this message down, you know, a lot of times you'll hear messages on the Christian radio about Christian problems, and maybe once in a while you hear one on doctrine or something, but very few messages on just evangelizing and being a witness for the Lord. But I believe God puts a great priority on that. And he gives us one of the scriptures here in the Great Commission, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. God says this, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." You know, folks, God wants us to be a witness for him. Amen? Before I got saved, I never wanted to talk about Jesus. Did you? I wanted to talk about where the best beer joints were in town, where they had the best dope, where the biggest parties were going on. That's what I wanted to talk about. I didn't want to talk about Jesus. Amen? But after I got saved, I wanted to talk about Jesus, because I knew Jesus was the answer for all of mankind's problems. Amen? You know, today we got a lot of problems on this earth. You know, these junkies are over ODing left and right. And they say, oh, what can we do for all these junkies that are ODing left and right? Get them the gospel. Get them saved. Amen? The answer for heroin addicts or any person that's addicted to anything in this life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the answer. Amen. Not programs. Jesus, amen, is the answer for anything that you may be addicted to, whether it be pornography. By the way, they say 80% of people in all churches, 80%, this guy was a pornography expert on the radio, Brother Leakley, and he said that 80% of Christian men in churches are addicted to pornography. And some guy said, well, somebody said, well, yeah, those men, they're all addicted. Then he said, yeah, but 30% of the women are too. Folks, something's wrong here today in today's society. Amen. And if you're like that here today, now that's counting all the churches. That ain't counting Fundamental Baptists. Probably Fundamental Baptists, probably only 20 or 30% of them, probably. but folks, there's a problem today in this world, amen. And only the Lord Jesus Christ, in turning your life totally over to him, can give you the victory in your Christian life. Amen. So God says here, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, what does ye mean? Ye means thee. Amen. People say, well, that's good for the pastor. I think he should get out there and be witnessing. I think those deacons, they should be getting out there and witnessing. Those Sunday school teachers, they ought to be witness for the Lord, but not me. I just kind of, you know, I'm a spectator, amen? Folks, God wants us all to be a witness for him, amen? He says, ye shall be witnesses. In fact, you know, it is a sin not to be involved in the Great Commission. It's a sin. You know, if we went out and got drunk, well, we'd certainly confess that as a sin. If we got out and got high, we'd consider that as a sin. If we went out and committed some immoral act, we'd certainly confess that as a sin. Oh, God, forgive me. But many times we forget the sin, to confess the sin of not being a witness for the Lord. Amen? Jesus says this. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:34, God says this, "Awake to righteousness, and what? Sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God." And then God says this, "I speak this to your shame." Amen? So shame on us if we're not being a witness for the Lord. Amen? And by the way, you can be a witness for the Lord. God says, ye shall be witness. I remember when I first got married, my first wife over in Australia, she passed at my daughter's birth. Her name was Leslie. She was she had 8 years in Tennessee Temple University. 2 4-year degrees. She went back to Australia. She was working over there in a home over there for women. And I met her when I was a missionary, when I went to Australia as a single missionary, and we got married. Well, after we got married, we moved out to a little town called Boona, Queensland. It was a little bitty church out there, about 10 people. And I was going to try to get it going and try to help get that church established. Well, the first week after we got married, Saturday came around, and I said, Leslie, get up. We're going to go to visitation. We're going to go out and knock on some doors. And she said, no. She said, you go. She goes, I'll stay home and pray for you. Now, I can't say she never witnessed for the Lord, but she witnessed some, but she was never really a proficient witness for the Lord. Let me put it that way. And she said, no, you go, Joe, I'll stay home and pray for you. I said, no, come on, get up. You're going to go with me, because she was the only one I had. I needed somebody to go, you know. So she said, no, I'll stay home. She said, come on, get up. We're going to go. Okay. And so we got up and we went out and started knocking on doors. We went to the first door and knocked on it, and somebody came to the door. I said, hey, my name's Joe Marshall. I'm from the Bible Baptist Church here in Boona. Two Bible Baptist churches. I'm from the Bible Baptist Church here in Boona, Queensland. And we're just out visiting today. And, you know, it just started kind of small talk, and the person at the door a little bit telling people about Jesus today, how you can go to heaven, et cetera, et cetera. About the fifth door we came to, a little old lady came to the door. And I saw her coming up to the door, and I thought to myself, I'm going to put one on my wife here, you know, my new wife. And this little lady came to the door. She said, yes, folks, can I help you? And I said, yes, ma'am. I says, my wife has got something to say to you. And she looks, my name is Leslie Marshall, and we're from the Bible Baptist Church here in Boona, and we're just out visiting today, and we're inviting people to church, and you think maybe you could come sometime? She said, well, honey, I'm glad you asked me. Well, I'll think about that. Where are you located at? And they talked for a little bit, you know, my wife and then we left, and my wife and I walked down the sidewalk there, and my wife said, I'll kill you when I get home. You know, but folks, I don't know if it's exactly like that, but along those lines, you know. But folks, this is the gospel truth. Here was a girl, had 8 years, Tennessee Temple University, but really wasn't a proficient witness for the Lord. And this is the gospel truth. It wasn't 2 months later. She was taking one side of the street, and I was taking the other. Amen? Now, there was a girl that couldn't do it. She didn't think she could do it, but she found out she could. Amen? And folks, you can too. Amen? How do these great athletes today, how do you think they'd get good? Come on, answer me, somebody. How do these great athletes? Practice! Amen? But we as Christians, we don't practice evangelism. Amen? We need to practice evangelism. The more you practice being a witness for the Lord, the better you get at it. Amen? Amen? What do you think the greatest tool for evangelism is? Talk to me again. What do you guys think the greatest tool for evangelism is? What is it? Bible? Sure, the Bible. What else? So narrow it down a little bit more. Huh? Our voice, yeah. Narrow it down a little bit more. The greatest tool for evangelism. Greatest tool you have for witnessing. Come on. There you go. Tracts. Gospel tracts. You know, if you don't carry gospel tracts, you're going to have a hard time being a witness for the Lord. Amen? It's hard to be a witness for the Lord if you don't have gospel tracts in your pocket. So to try to be a witness for the Lord, begin each day, pray, and read your Bible. Amen? Ask God to fill you with the Spirit of God, and then take some gospel tracts with you. Amen? As you go. And have something you say to people. Amen? I got a little thing that I say to people. Like, say I'm going to the supermarket and buy some food. I got a little something that I say. After I've paid for my food, I'll take out a gospel tract and I'll give it to him. I'll say, sir, let me give you this to tell you how to go to heaven for sure. And give him that gospel tract. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Amen. I've got something that's what I say. It'll tell you how to go to heaven. So I don't know what you want, but get something that you say when you give the gospel tract out. It'll help you. It'll make you give you confidence in being a witness for the Lord. Have something you say. Let me give you this. Tell you how to go to heaven. This is what I say in the fair. People are going by, pass out the gospel. Tell you how to go to heaven, stay out of hell. Go to heaven, stay out of hell. You say, you mentioned hell? Yeah, you'd be surprised how many people will take tracts. They take them. Amen? Be bold in your witness. The world, they're bold today, aren't they? The gays, they're bold. Amen? They're coming out of the closet. They're bold. Huh? But God didn't make Adam and Steve. God made Adam and Eve. Amen? The evolutionists, they're bold. Amen? Oh, we came from a big bang. Amen? If you believe in a big bang, I got some beach land out in Las Vegas I want to sell you. Amen? The atheists, they're bold. Madeline Murray O'Hare, she's bold. Thank God her son got saved. Amen? Good witness. Good testimony if you ever read his book. They're bold. Amen? But folks, we as Christians, we're a bunch of sissies, a lot of us, a lot of times. Amen? You know, some of you guys, before you get saved, you'd go in a beer joint and drink a six-pack of Budweiser and fight everybody in the beer joint. Amen? But after you get saved, you put on a pair of pink leotards. Amen? That shouldn't be. Praise God. We ought to be as bold for Jesus as we were bold for the devil. Amen? Amen. The righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Amen? Most of the time, nobody, people say, well, they're after me. Brother Lick, you probably think, everybody in Cambridge is after me because I'm the Baptist preacher here, you know. The devil can put stuff that in your mind. But really, nobody's usually after us. You know, the devil, he's working on the Pope over there in the Vatican. He don't care about us down here. Amen? So we ought to be bold for Jesus. Amen? Be bold for the Lord. Carry gospel tracts and ask God to help you to be a witness for Him daily. Ask Him to fill you with the Spirit of God and be a witness for Him. You say, Brother Marshall, what's another good way to be a witness for the Lord? What's another good way? God says, you shall be witnesses. What's another? Testimony. Give people your testimony. Amen? You know, nobody can deny your testimony. Amen? And by the way, a testimony is a great way to witness for the Lord because you're not really preaching at people. You're telling people what happened to you. Amen? You're not preaching to them. You're telling what happened to you. And you've got the good news. Amen? People today are starving for good news. Amen? All we hear today in the media is bad news, bad news, bad news. We were down in Florida. My sister's cable wasn't hooked up. So we didn't listen to the news for 5 weeks. You know, that was a blessing. Amen. We didn't realize, but what a blessing that was. Not hearing the garbage that's in the news and all that stuff for 5 weeks. Amen. But people today are bombarded with bad news, bad news, bad news, bad. We got the good news. Amen. We got the good news. Tell it. Amen. Give them your testimony. You say, Brother Marshall, I don't have a great testimony. I was never a dopehead or a drunk or any kind of really bad thing like that. I got saved when I was 5 years old on my mother's knee. Folks, if you got saved when you were 5 years old on your mother's knee, you got just as much a testimony as somebody that was a drunkard for 30 years. Amen. Tell it. Tell it. Oh, I don't know, sir, but when I was 5 years old, I came under conviction about my sin, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior on my mother's knee one night, and God saved me and came in my heart. The best thing never happened to me. Best thing, you know what? When you do that, you know what people say usually? They don't say, oh, that's bad. That's terrible, kid. You messed up. You know what they'll usually say to you? They say, that's good. You know, that's good. They know good when they hear it. Amen. Now, usually they don't want to get saved, but they'll still tell you it's good. Amen. But you don't know when they're going to get saved. Amen. You don't know when a person gets saved. They say a person gets witnessed to 7 times before he gets saved. The average person gets witnessed to 7 times before he ever gets saved. Amen. Well, when you witness to somebody, when you give people your testimony, when you pass out a gospel tract, when you put a bumper sticker on the back of your car, when you put a sign out in your front yard, when you preach on a street corner, when you knock on a door and you witness to people, guess what? If that person ever gets saved, well, you have a part in their salvation. Amen? We don't realize that many times. We don't realize, but anytime you get the gospel out, if that person ever gets saved, you had a part in their salvation. And you'll share in that person, in the reward that the person that led him to the Lord or the preacher that preached the message or however he got saved, you'll share in their reward. Amen. I like that, don't you? If you read the last few chapters of John chapter 4, the Bible talks about the reaper entering into the sower's labor. Jesus said, other men labored, the sower, and ye are entered into their labors, the reaper. So when you witness for the Lord, you enter into the reaper's labor. Amen. I like that, don't you? I like that. Praise God. When you put a sign out, I got two signs out in my front yard. I'm the sign man. You know, I got to go a little bit, you know, more. You know, if I didn't have a sign out in my front yard, I'd be a hypocrite, wouldn't I? So we got two signs, but we have a double lot. We live on Norton Avenue right up from Barberton High School. And the kids walk up from the high school up there, up the street, and they'll get up in our yard, Brother Leakley, and they'll take pictures of our scripture sign. I don't know what they're doing. I think they're putting it on that book face or something, you know. But praise God, the Word of God's not bound. Amen. But I look at, you know, every person that walks down my sidewalk in front of my house, every person that drives and sees my scripture sign, amen, I'm planting the Word of God in that individual's heart. Amen. You know, the Word of God, folks. I remember before I got saved, my friend of mine and I, we bought a farm, in fact, not too far from here, over in McConnellsville in Southern Ohio. We were going to have a hippie, one of them hippie places, you know, that the old hippies had. You know, I was a hippie, you know, and a Catholic, unsaved Catholic, drug addict hippie. So we bought a farm down in Southern Ohio, the 189-acre farm. Beautiful farm. Got it for $17,900. That's cheap. That was back 50 years ago, but the place was like a state park, amen? And we were going to have one of those hippie communes and all the things that hippie does, have a dope plantation down there and do all these things. So my friend and I went partners in that farm, he moved down there with his wife and family. I stayed up in Akron because you couldn't get any dope down on the farm, so I only came down once in a while on the weekends. But I used to drive there on the weekends, and down there on Route 60, just south of Zanesville, on the side of the road, there was a sign that said, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I used to read that sign. What does that mean? I was just a dumb hippie, Catholic hippie. I didn't know nothing. But you know, folks, God began to work in my heart. Amen? I came under conviction in my life. And I didn't even know what conviction was. Amen. I'd be in beer joints and people come up to me and say, "Joe, you look like you're in a crisis." I didn't want to tell them, but I was. I was miserable. But I believe the Word of God began to take root in my heart. Amen. That's what the Word of God does. It convicts people. It draws people. God says in Proverbs chapter 1, "I will make my words be known unto you." Amen. "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regard." But God says, "I will make my words known unto you." You know, God must make his words known unto this world. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 that his word will not return unto him void. It'll accomplish the things which he wants to prosper. But if we don't put it out there, how can God accomplish what he wants to do? If we don't put the signs out in our front yard, if we don't put bumper stickers on the back of our car, if we don't pass out gospel, if we don't witness to people, if we don't knock on doors, if we don't preach on street corners, if we don't go onto college campuses and witness and preach and try to be a witness for the Lord, how can God do his work? Amen. Because God needs Christians to help him do his work, so to speak, you know. He says his word will not return void. But we got to get the Word of God out there so God can use it to do his work. Amen? We got to get the Word out there. He says, "You shall be witnesses unto me." Make a long story short, by the way, it wasn't long after I saw those signs, it wasn't long that a girl left a New Testament outside my door and I got saved one night reading the Bible. I got saved reading the book of Romans in Romans chapter 3. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and I come under conviction. Romans chapter 1 got worse than 2. By the time I got in 3, I was under deep conviction. Amen. And God saved me on Romans 3:24. The verse goes, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When I read that verse, I realized me, a no good, dirty, rotten sinner, could be justified freely simply by believing on Jesus Christ. And folks, I did. Something happened to me. I felt the Holy Spirit come in. God delivered me from 5 years of heroin addiction, 10 years of alcoholism, et cetera, et cetera. Amen. And I'm here to testify today. Guess what? I haven't had a needle marm in 41 years. Ain't smoked a joint in 41 years. Ain't drunk a beer in 41 years. I could drink a beer if I wanted to, but I don't want to. Amen. God took my wonder away. Praise God. You know, people, you know, they say, you talk to alcoholics and addicts and stuff, and they'll say, well, it's a day-to-day battle. You know, I understand what they're saying. But you know what? If you get saved and totally turn your life over to Jesus, amen, you get baptized, you start coming to church, you start getting in the book, you start witnessing for the Lord, you start giving to God, it won't be a day-to-day battle, amen? God will deliver you 100% psychologically and mentally, physically and psychologically, amen? He will. He'll take that desire away, amen? He'll take that desire away, amen? They got AA going today. My old drug dealing partner, you know Dr. Bob that started AA? I don't know why I'm going to get off on it, but Dr. Bob started AA. He was the guy who started Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, my old drug dealing partner and me, he had a house up there in Akron called on Ardmore Avenue. And some of us used to sit out in the front porch and be hiring a kite. We look out and be staring out, and these buses would come by. And these people would be hanging out at the buses, taking pictures. And all these stoned out hippies going, what's going on here, you know? And here it was the Alcoholics Anonymous coming by in their buses, taking pictures, because the house that he lived in had bought with Dr. Bob's old house, amen, on Ardmore Avenue in Barberton. I can remember hauling pounds of scripture, marijuana into that garage down there back in the day, amen. But that was Dr. Bob's old house. But those Alcoholics Anonymous, sure, there's nothing wrong with Alcoholics Anonymous. There's nothing wrong with these programs, so to speak. But my friend, nothing takes the place of salvation, amen. Nothing takes the place of the Word of God. Nothing takes the place of getting saved and totally turning your life over to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, I don't know how I got off on old Dr. Bob there. That's kind of interesting. What are some of the hindrances of us being a witness for the Lord? What are some of the hindrances that keeps us from being a witness for the Lord? I think one of the great hindrances to being a witness for the Lord is simply this. We could care less if people go to hell or not. Amen? Oh, sure, we get saved and we get fired up for a year or two. But after a while, we get this lackadaisical attitude. Amen? A lot of times we do that. I do it. You know, and you get this attitude, you know, I heard one preacher say, you know, he said, I don't care, because I'm tired of this. I don't care. Let them go to hell. Amen. But, you know, something that could creep in. Amen. And so we get this lackadaisical attitude. We couldn't care less that people are going to hell. But folks, hell's a real place. Amen. Hell is real. It ain't no joke. Amen. Hell's no joke. So we get a lackadaisical attitude. And a lot of times we let preoccupation set in also. I believe that's a great hindrance for being a witness. Being preoccupied with other things. Amen. Set your mind each day that you're going to be a witness for the Lord. Set your mind each day that you're going to be a witness at your job. Set your mind that each day you're going to be a witness as you do your errands around your community. Set your mind each day that you're going to try to let your light shine, that others may be drawn unto Jesus and be a witness for the Lord. Amen. The Bible says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. Amen. We need to have a vision for the Lord. Lord, help me to be a witness for Thee. That people might be saved. People might escape hell. And have a home in heaven. You know, that can happen to anybody, amen? I heard a story the other day. Billy Graham, the evangelist, he preached to a lot of people. I don't know what you think about Billy Graham, but he did preach the gospel, amen? And he preached to thousands and thousands, more than all of us will ever preach to in our lives, that's for sure. But one of the things Billy Graham said one time that always stuck with him, he said this, he said, you know, Billy Graham was friends with all the presidents. And he talked to him. He was talking to a man one day after he preached at a congressional, one of these congressional, things that they had Billy Graham in there. And a guy came up to him after he got done preaching and wanted to talk to Billy Graham about, what Billy Graham had talked about the gospel. And Billy Graham said, I'm sorry, sir, but I cannot do it right now. I've got some appointments I gotta take care of, and I just don't have the time right now to spend the time. I'm sorry. I'll definitely get back with you later, but I just don't have the time right now to talk with you. And folks, 72 hours later, that man was dead in a box in Dallas, Texas. John F. Kennedy. Folks, don't get preoccupied with other things. How many times has ever God ever talked to you and say, I want you to talk to this person? And you've kind of shunned it off. I've done that. I remember when I was in Bible school, God says, I want you to talk to this person. I kept putting it off. I didn't want to do it. I just didn't do it. Pretty soon I found out that guy died. Amen. He died. Folks, people are one breath away from hell. And you don't know when you rub shoulders with somebody how close they are to hell. Amen? And God might have you right there, right at that time, to hand that person a gospel tract or just say a little bitty something that might get that person saved. Amen? Take advantage. Don't be preoccupied with other things. You know, the Bible says the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things have entered in and choked the word that it becometh unfruitful. It doesn't say it chokes you, but it chokes the word. Amen. It chokes the word. When Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. He said, warning every man and teaching every man that we may present every man imperfect in Christ Jesus. He said, son of man, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. But we read that and sometimes the word is choked by the cares, the preoccupation, the things of this world. Amen. Let's keep our mind on what really matters, folks. Really matters in this life. Getting people to heaven, getting other people to heaven. Amen. So God says, He says, you shall be witnesses unto me. Sometimes we don't witness because we're ashamed. We're ashamed. Huh? We are. Sometimes we're ashamed of the gospel. Jesus said, whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. But sometimes we get a little bit ashamed, amen? We don't want to humble ourselves and be a witness. Oh, they're going to think I'm one of them Bible thumpers. Well, praise God if they do. They're going to persecute me. Praise God if you get persecuted, amen? You know, how many of you want to have a good, great reward in heaven? How many of us want to have a reward? All of us. Come on, we all want to have a reward. Don't be so humble. You know, God commands us to have rewards. You know that? It's a command to have a reward. God says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves break through nor steal. That's a command. It's a command to have treasure in heaven. Amen? And so a lot of times, we refuse to humble ourselves and be a witness for the Lord. Amen. Oh, I'll be persecuted. Well, you know, persecution's good for Christians. It's good to be... persecution never hindered a Christian's growth, but always helps them to become stronger. Always. Persecution will never hinder you. Amen. And by the way, if you want to have a great reward, put yourself where you do get maybe persecuted a little bit. where you do get mocked a little bit. Put yourself in those areas. Maybe at school. I can't be a witness at my school. I'm going to be persecuted. They'll bully me. Well, that's good. Amen. It's good to get persecuted a little bit. I went to public school, Brother Leakley, for 12 years. I never saw a Christian. I never even knew one existed. And most people will tell you the same thing. I never saw a person walk down the hall with a Bible. I never knew there was any such thing as a born-again Christian. I didn't have a clue. Never saw one in high school. 12 years of high school. 10 years of parochial school and 2.5 years of high school. Never saw one. But folks, why? Because some of those people, they were Christian, but they were afraid. Maybe they get bullied. Maybe they get persecuted a little bit. Well, you know, it's good. Persecution's good for you as a Christian. Why? I like this. Bible says this. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And then God says this. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. I like this. For great is your reward in heaven. Praise God. I like that, don't you? That's a sure thing. Amen. God says, if you'll get out, just be aware. And we're not persecuted in the United States. There's nobody going to say nothing to you for being a witness for the Lord in the United States of America. About the worst thing they'd ever do is laugh at you and maybe slam a door in your face. And that probably doesn't happen about 99% of the time. You know, we have liberty in America. Take advantage of those liberties that we have. Praise God. We go up to the Indians games sometimes. We preach at the Indians games. And I've been preaching up there for probably 38 years, off and on. I don't do it every week or something, but I've been doing about 41 years off and on. And we'll go up there. You know where they come across? I don't know if you've been up the Indians games where they come across right there at the front of the stadium, there where the statues are and stuff there in front of the Indians stadium. And the people stand there at that light waiting to go across the street. And we'll stand at that corner and say, you must be born again. I accept you. Repent. You'll perish. The marriage bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Repent and believe the gospel. And if you've got a good Cleveland cop up there, they'll hold those people at that light for you, you know, for two lights. You can kind of see them sometimes. They got a little grin on their face, you know. And they'll hold those people at that light. Amen. And then they'll finally let them go and say, okay, come on across. And they'll, yay! Well, they run across that street. They can't wait to get across there. Amen. That's funny, but it's kind of sad too, ain't it? But folks, what I wanted to get at is the Cleveland police have never, I have no problems with them for 40 years. Amen. One time a Cleveland policeman tried to stop me. And I said, hey, I said, he tried to stop me preaching on that corner. I said, I'm sorry, sir. I don't mean to be a smart aleck or anything, but I'm not stopping. I have a constitutional right to preach on this corner. He looked at me and said, you know, yeah, you're right. You know, and he let me in, and he kind of walked away and he said, you're right. And I said, you must be born again. I just kept going. Amen. One time we were up there preaching, and a police sergeant from the Cleveland Police Force came up to me after I was done. He came up to me and he said, please come back. I said, okay, you know. Folks, we have liberty in America. College campuses, what a place to be a witness for the Lord. Amen. You'd be surprised how open people are on college campuses. You know, you can go on any state college in the United States and pass out tracts, witness. If you want to preach, you can do that. Any state college in the United States, you can go on campus and do that. You have a constitutional right because it's a state college. Now, if it's a private college, they can throw you out off the grounds. But state, you don't. We were up there one day preaching in front of Akron U, in front of the library up there. And I always preach on all the sins that are popular in America, and one of them is homosexuality. And I was preaching a little bit on homosexuality, and these three guys walked by me, you know, and they walked by, and one of them kind of nudged me like this, and then he walked up in front of the library, you know, and they were all up there in front of the library at Akron U up there laughing. You know, we jabbed the preacher, you know, and pretty soon, about a few minutes later, this cop came up, and he come walking up to me, and he was a university policeman, and he walked to me. I said, uh-oh, I says, I must have done something. I'm probably out of here right now. He comes up and he says, sir, would you like to press charges against those guys? I said, no. I said, we'll pray for them. He said, okay, I was just checking. You know, folks, we got liberty in America. Amen. Take advantage of it. Amen. Take advantage of your liberties. Use your liberties to reach this world with the gospel. So many venues out there. Door-to-door. Sporting events. The Fair Ministry, Brother Gary. What a venue for the Lord. Amen. You get more people saved, more, pass out more tracts, witness to more people in a week of a good fair. If it's run properly, like Amazing Grace Missions does, if it's run properly, then you're doing a year of church work. Amen. What a ministry to get the gospel out. Amen. What a ministry. Fair ministry, door-to-door ministry, street ministry. I got a CB ministry at home. I don't tell many people this because I don't like that. I had a truck driver, come by my house and shoot a bullet through my house and where my wife was sleeping on the couch there, where she lays her head. The bullet came right through the coffee table and fell this far from her head down on the floor in the coffee table. Didn't make it all the way through the coffee. I don't tell a lot of people that I preach on the CB, but a CB, great way to be a witness for the Lord. Amen. I know you don't get to preach on it for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, but get up there, maybe 30 seconds, a minute. Say a little something on the CB. I got one in my car. I drive around. Akron's a big hub up there for truck driver. I'll drive around my CB. You must be born again. Driver, are you saved? Are you 100% sure if you died you'd go to heaven? Hey, Jesus is the answer. You know, CB preaching. Good venue for the Lord. But there's many, many ways we can get the gospel out. We don't take advantage of them. Take advantage. If God lays something on your heart, use it. There's so many venues out there to be a witness for the Lord. You know, I'm going to close with this. One of the greatest stories I ever heard of a man being a witness for the Lord was there was a preacher named Francis Dixon at the turn of the century. He preached in a Baptist church over in Lansdowne, England. And he became a well-known preacher and he started preaching all around the world. And he was over in Australia preaching over there in Sydney, and a guy came forward and got saved, and Pastor Dixon asked the guy, he says, how'd you happen to come here and get saved today? Well, he said, I was walking down George Street one day, very busy street in Sydney, the main street in Sydney, George Street, Sydney, Australia. And he says, a little old man with white hair jumped out, gave me a gospel tract, and asked me if I knew for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. He said, I couldn't get those words out of my head, and I came forward here today and got saved. And Dixon said, well, that's great, you know. And then he went down to Adelaide. He's preaching there, and a lady came forward after the service, and she got saved. And Dixon asked her, he says, ma'am, how did you happen to come here and get saved today? Well, she said, we're just over here on vacation, but we live in Sydney. And I was down on George Street one day in the Sydney there, and a little old man with white hair jumped out, asked me if I was 100% sure if I died I'd go to heaven. And I couldn't get those words out of my head. And I came here to Adelaide on vacation. I came to this church and I got saved today. Dixon said, well, that's great, you know. Then he was over in Perth preaching over there on the western side of Australia. And he was out with one of the deacons having lunch. And he said, how did you get saved? Well, the deacon said, well, I'll tell you, preacher, I was over in Sydney one day. I was walking down George Street, and a little old man with white hair jumped out, gave me a gospel tract, asked me if I was 100% sure if I died I'd go to heaven. I couldn't get those words out of my head, and I got saved, and now I'm serving as a deacon in the local church here and trying to win souls for Jesus. And Dixon said, wow, okay, that's great. Then Dixon went home to England, and he was in a conference there with 7,000 people, and he gave the testimony of these three guys getting saved, the little old man down on George Street. And after the service, six men came forward and testified that the same exact thing happened to them over on George Street in Sydney. And Dixon, by this time, he's really scratching his head, amen? Then he went down to India, and he was preaching down to India in a missions conference in India, And he talked to an Indian guy down there that was saved. He says, sir, how did you get saved? Well, he says, I'll tell you what happened. I was working for the ambassador of India in England there in Sydney. And I was walking down George Street one day, and a little old man with white hair jumped out, asked me if I was 100% sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I couldn't get that out of my head. And I came back here to India. I sought me out a missionary. I got saved, and now I'm serving God in the local church. And Dixon, he's really scratching his head now. And the same thing happened to him over in Barbados in the West Indies. Some people came forward and they gave that same testimony. Well, he ended up in the United States And he was out with a naval chaplain in the United States. And he said, chaplain, he says, how'd you get saved? And the chaplain said, well, I'll tell you, preacher. I was over in Australia and I was walking down George Street and Dixon said, wait a minute, hold it. He said, don't say anything else. He said, you were walking down George Street and a little man with white hair jumped out, asked if you were sure you were going to heaven and gave you a tract and you got saved. And Dixon said, yeah. He said, how'd you figure that out? He said, oh, I just kind of figured it out, you know. And so Dixon went back, said, you know what? He says, I got to meet this guy. So he was taking a trip over to Australia, and he got with a pastor over there. He said, pastor, do you know a little old man that witnesses down on George Street and passes out tracts and stuff like that? And the pastor said, yeah, I do. I know him. His name's Gwynn Hall. He says, can we go over there and meet that guy? Do you know where he lives? He says, yeah, I know exactly where he lives. They went over to his house. They knocked on the door, and a little old man came to the door. And he says, yes, gentlemen, can I help you? And Pastor Dixon said, yes, sir. My name's Pastor Dixon, and this is my pastor friend here. We'd like to come in and just talk to you for a minute. And Mr. Hall said, sure, gentlemen, come in. You know, and the guy has kind of lived in a kind of little old dilapidated house, you know, and they walked in, sat down in the living room, and he said, sir, what can I do for you, gentlemen? He said, Pastor Dixon said, well, Mr. Hall, I just want to tell you this. I'm a pastor and I've traveled all around the world. And everywhere I go, I meet people that you have witnessed to down in George Street that have gotten saved and are living for Jesus. And about that time, Gwynn Hall just kind of burst out in tears. He said, oh. And Pastor Dixon said, sir, I hope I haven't offended you. And Gwynn Hall said, no, you haven't offended me. Let me give you a little bit of my testimony. I was a sailor, and one day out in the high seas, God convicted me of my sin, and I got saved. And after I got saved out there on the high sea, I was older, it was only about 10 years ago, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if there's anything I can do, and the Lord laid it on my heart for me to witness to 10 people every day. And he said, but gentlemen, this is the first time that I've ever heard that my witness did anything for the Lord. And you know, it wasn't long after that Gwynn Hall, he died and he went to heaven. You know, he didn't take a lot with him. And a lot of people, except the people down on George Street, really didn't know much about him. But folks, when he got to heaven, he was a hero, amen? Folks, let's be heroes for Jesus. Let's be witnesses for the Lord. Let's exalt our Savior in our lives, and God's going to bless. Let's bow our head. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you today, are you being a witness for the Lord? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you being a witness for the Lord?